God in our lives. And to godliness, here's our word, brotherly kindness. I want to give you a few analogies and situations where I think you'll agree with me that there should be brotherly kindness there. And I invite you to respond with me. I'm going to ask you to say brotherly love together, okay? We might have heard this, and I suppose there can be a believer that's actually living in this cute little poem. To dwell above with the Lord we love, oh, that will be glory. What if somebody's actually living in this, the rest of it? To dwell with those we know below, now that's another story. What do they need? Brotherly love. How about the church member that says, I'd be okay to serve in the local church if it weren't for all these people? What do they need? Brotherly love. Or how about the person that talked about a church that they used to belong to and they were involved in some building project. And when they said black, the other people said white. And when they said white, the other people said black. There just couldn't be this togetherness and getting. What do they need? Brotherly love. You know, on occasion, and it may come through some heartache and trial, that a person finds themselves in a body of believers and they're distant, hesitant, guarded, afraid of getting close. I've been burned before and it's not going to happen again. What do they need? Brotherly love. These guys are displaying brotherly love.
Right.
Our word is that word you might have thought of it, Philadelphia. And it comes from two words, friend and brother. If you could take friend and brother and put them into one, what a beautiful, whoever came up with the idea of putting brother and friend in the same word. What a robust meaning, a picturesque meaning of close relationship. By the way, is it hot in here? Somebody turn that off, please. Can we get that done? I'm sensing a lot of
hot air.
This is patience. His name is Tom, too. Jim Berg, and I'll refer to him again, says Philadelphia is a rich term. Let me read to you from Lou and Nida in their Bible word meaning dictionary. In the New Testament, the term Philadelphia and Philadelphos have acquired specialized meaning which restrict the range of reference to fellow believers. In non-biblical contexts, these terms would refer to affection or love for persons belonging to a so-called in-group. But in the New Testament, in-group is defined as in terms of Christian faith. So when we see the word Philadelphia, brotherly love, brotherly kindness in Scripture, we know it's talking about us and others of us in other places. I'm understanding of what the brotherhood is on a volunteer fire department. It's rich. It's meaningful. I'm sure that it exists in law enforcement and, the military. It's meaningful. But none should parallel the brotherhood that's united in being all children of the same Heavenly Father. None should parallel. The brotherly love should comes with instructions on how to maintain it and repair it. And we need to maintain it. And sometimes we need to repair it. It comes with instructions on reconciliation. So, it's a very durable thing. Unity is the basis for brotherly love. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We're children through faith in Jesus Christ. We've been baptized. If you've been baptized, water baptized into the body of into the local church and added to the local church, you've been saved. and that adds you to the body of Christ. But baptism is a meaningful step as well. God commands us to keep the unity by remembering what we have in common. Brotherly love is that family love and affection for believers, for one another. Here and in other places, how many have visited? Some of you winter in other places, and you have a local church there that you're a part of, and it's precious to you, those people. We visited other churches at times of vacation or visiting family or just elsewhere, and Tim was up in Maine for this summer's family as well, and they visited another church. And when we do that, we walk in and we find that we're part of the brotherhood, of the body of Christ, that acceptance and that significant, that closeness is there too. Well, we're instructed here in 2 Peter 1:7 to diligently add brotherly love, or to make every effort to cultivate brotherly kindness into your life. Let me share several passages with you. This is a topical message this morning. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 12. There are several passages that speak on this, and it's really insightful scripture. On God has given much insight on brotherly love, what it means, what it does, what it looks like. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Ladies, how does that strike you? Be kindly affectioned. This is two things brought into one. Kindly affectioned with brotherly love. How does that sound to ladies? I don't mind. I'd like to hear a little. Oh, I'm sorry. I was hoping that it would be positive. Oh, you're saying because it says brotherly. Understand, this is an all-inclusive term. May I ask for another? Ladies would cherish that thought, right? Are ladies more given to closeness than men, generally? That's where I was headed. Us men, you know, at prayer breakfast, we're going to sit down. We can talk straight to one another, and we can have a great time together. But get, you know, the warm fuzzies and all that. Listen, these are not necessarily warm fuzzies. They're meaningful activities and behaviors and attitudes that we ought to share with each other. Though ladies might be more open to thinking about them, this is commanded to all of us, men and women alike. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Kindly affectioned is the idea of cherishing one's family. To cherish each other, to enjoy, to value with brotherly love. These two go together. The love of brothers. Love your family with brotherly love. Keep the warmth in the family feel. Literally, I can't say literally, but that sure seems like what is being said here. Keep the warmth in the family feel. Don't let it cool off. Contribute to that. Enjoy what others give to you, the warmth and greeting and the welcome that you receive here, and share it back with others. Not just with the people that we tend to visit, with the people that we sit near, because as soon as the service is over, you can't get anywhere else for a few minutes. The aisles are jammed. But there are other people in this auditorium that I don't know yet, and it's good for me to get to know others and for us to display brotherly love to one another. There is in itself an area to grow in love. One of the currencies of brotherly love is time. The family at the table. It's the only time Mom could get them all together, and they weren't very loving at the table. They weren't going to be close because they didn't invest even the time they had. And if we're here for an hour or 4 hours a week, either one, we can go away without investing the time, the conversation, the praying, the warmth, the greeting, the fellowship, the assurance of praying for you and for others, and those kinds of things. And by the way, should brotherly love be limited to these four walls, six walls, however many there are? We know that. And to be able to take this virtue out of this room and visit one another. Ladies' Bible studies are a great place for that to happen. Men's prayer breakfast is a great place to happen. Working on a bathroom renovation is a great place for that to happen. Right, Frank? Brotherly love. Let me tell you a personal illustration. Last week, it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Ended with the Lord's table together. Serving and helping with that was precious. The service from Sunday school. I think back to then, Friday night, we had a fun family, fall family fun night. And thankfully, there wasn't a lot of pressure to play me for games. I got to visit with Scott and John from the Ware Bible Baptist Church. For me, gentlemen, if you don't mind me saying publicly, it was a joy to spend time with you and to get to know you a little bit better and to hear your story. And when I found out that Scott and, you know, Krista, you are close neighbors to Bill and Pam, and I mentioned it to them. And then this other thing happened. So not only am I getting to know these fellows and their wives, and there is this connection forming, a relationship, but now with another couple that warmly welcomed them as well. So what's happening is brotherly love is happening, and the connections are being made. Without brotherly love, those connections don't happen. With brotherly love and the willingness on part of each, those things happen. I want to show you in a few minutes what comes of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is our next passage, please. By the way, these are merely examples of new, some of the Ware Bible Baptist Church being here, but these connections are age-old, meaningful things that God has used over the time. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's precious, isn't it? Each one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is taught by our Heavenly Father to love each other. It's what God did when He gave His Son for us. By the way, God displayed His love by giving, an emblem that reminds us of the sacrifice of our Savior. God gave His one and only Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, so that we can have forgiveness for our sins and His righteousness, which takes us not just to zero forgiveness, but to full acceptance with God. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has God saved you? Today could be that day where you could have forgiveness and acceptance with God. God teaches us to love one another. Verse 10 here, and indeed ye do it toward all. They shared love. The Thessalonians believers shared their love with others regionally and all of Macedonia. So the church at Berea knew about their love and experienced it. The church at Philippi experienced their love and so on. So there were church fellowships and people passing through and love was being shared. Let's think about Village Chapel Baptist Church. Are we displaying love to others? Well, we're attempting to be in a reciprocal relationship and love with Ware Bible Baptist Church. Can I ask the Ware Bible Baptist Church folks to at least raise your hand wherever you're sitting? Look around, folks, and see who are with us. Quite a few hands. Thank you. We know they love us, and we're attempting as well to be loving to them. New Boston Baptist Church, we had a fellowship, a Sinkspiration with them back in the summer, and maybe can do that again. And others that we're praying for, our church is known to some degree at least for being one that shares brotherly love. and to do it toward all. And then notice the end of verse 10, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. This is interesting. There's a commendation for their love, and then there's a challenge to keep growing in that. This isn't enough. Don't stop here. There are more people to love. There's more opportunities. We could list the opportunities, and it could take all day. Here's one. A man walking around at the dinner last week with a trash bag, coming to your table and mine asking for our plates. Why did he do that? Brotherly love. Somebody else emptying the trash so there was room for more. A couple, familiar, very familiar with organizing meals and planning and preparing and serving up meals, was all over the process. Brotherly love. There's no end of ways to display brotherly love. Prayer meeting, sitting with men for me and ladies for ladies, and praying and caring and sharing. Brotherly love. Precious, isn't it? God has given us so many ways to make those relationships connected. And love is what sort of wraps them tightly together, the closeness that we can share and that we can enjoy. I don't want to forget to go there, so let's go there now. Ephesians chapter 4. I pondered this, having taught through this chapter recently in Sunday school. Notice chapter 4 and verse 16. 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're all to be growing together to become more like our Savior and contributing to that process. From whom the whole body, Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Notice this. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let me tell you, I think what this verse is saying is God uses those relationship connections to grow each other spiritually. That's kind of a meaningful, it's hard to understand this verse sometimes, but that's part of what's going on there. I suspect there are some people here that have a friend that said, hey, you ought to come over to Village Chapel. You're going through a hard time. Why don't you come over? That's happened for years. How many years has that been going on? 15 years. And people come and people find, and not everybody, but some find close connections, and they get drawn in and they meet other people. And those connections, those what are called relationships, are what God uses where the encouragement and nurturing of spiritual growth flows. What a treasure to be part of the body of Christ. It's just amazing. Hebrews 13:1, please. Looks like it's almost 12 o'clock. I think I've gone over a little. I'm supposed to finish by 11, weren't I? Hebrews 13:1. What does this verse say? Let brotherly love continue. The passive verb let. It's happening. Don't interrupt it. Let it continue. Let it exist. Let it carry on. Let it remain. Brotherly love is an amazing treasure created in us by God. It's based on unity. It's given to us to foster spiritual growth in each other. There is something about the pinnacle of love in the list of virtues. Love being the last, charity is the next and the last one. And I've yet to really get a good sense for what this means, other than the time or two that I've heard it spoken about. But we're growing in our walk with Christ, and love is sort of at the top of that, you would think, and certainly it is all the way along. But it's in that love that we're most like our Savior towards each other. And it seems to be at the top for a reason. And I'm not sure what that reason is. We'll look at another verse on it. But this verse in Hebrews 13:1 is saying, don't cool brotherly love. Don't stifle it, stop it, or remove it. Don't ignore it, disregard it, reject it. Don't disrupt it, don't hinder it. Keep it, brotherly love. Guard it, brotherly love. 1 Peter 1, please. 1 Peter 1. This connects more with that passage in Ephesians and in our own spiritual growth. 1 Peter 1:22. Now, think with me. I'm urging you to really put your thinking caps on with this verse, not because it's hard to understand, but because it's worthy. All of the verses are. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Let me stop right there. Unfeigned, probably without wax. I haven't looked it up. Sincere. Wax, let me explain that. Yesterday in our devotional with the men's prayer breakfast, in the first century, clay pots were made and sold. And apparently there were some who wanted to be a little sketchy, edgy, dishonest. And when the pot was broken, or a little bit cracked, they could fill that with wax. And then it would look complete, and they could sell it as a whole, complete vessel. And Scripture forbids us from being like that, but to be sincere. Not that we need to show all our cracks, but that we ought not to fill them up and try to look what we're not. That's hypocritical. Unto unfeigned love. The process brought Peter's readers up to a place in their spiritual growth where they were loving each other sincerely. How did they get there, and what happened when they were on their way? They purified their souls in this growth. When you're first saved, we learn to love, we struggle to love. In fact, Jim Berg explains in his book, Essential Virtues, catch this. Ask yourself, am I known to be a warm-hearted and others-focused, like-minded, kind, tender-hearted, and humble person to all believers? Are these my dominant characteristics? In other words, is this my character? If you answered yes, ask yourself, am I this way only with the people who like me, or with people whom I like? Or am I also this way with all believers because they are believers? In other words, and this is challenging, in other words, is this truly the character of my life, the fruit of godliness in our passage, or is kindness and acceptance just another way for me to get what I want with certain people? People who can offer me nothing don't get the red carpet treatment. This kind of relational selectivity is not the brotherly kindness Peter is speaking about. It is merely self-serving manipulation to get what I want. If there are one or two people here that have never had those motives in your heart, please raise your hand. I'd like to rejoice with you. But as we grow, God purges us from selfishness and those selfish motives to relate to other people, to see what I can get as a teenager, as an adult, as a senior, and whatever category or age as we are as a believer, we can grow to become more loving. And in the process, we have to deny ourselves, don't we? How can we love others unless we deny ourselves? And that's becoming more like Christ. So Peter is saying, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or sincere love of the brethren. Growing in love has a purifying effect on you. At home, You know, to give sacrificially is loving. We learned about that in Sunday school. To love as Christ loved, and he loved sacrificially. So to love others, I don't feel like making dinner, or I don't feel like, you know, being kind right now. I don't feel like bringing in the firewood. I don't, you know, on and on and on. But to be sacrificial, when the baby's crying and a man can do something about it, maybe it's time for him to get out of bed. Or when the dog needs to get out in the middle of the night, sometimes we're a little bit slow. I am. I don't know about other people, but sometimes we're not fast enough. On other occasions, we can be there when our wife needs an umbrella or a door opened or those kinds of things. That's sweet. That's brotherly love. That's biblical. Let's finish the verse. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. What did Peter just do? He commended them for loving one another and growing in the process. Now what is he doing? He's challenging them to love one another still more. So Village Chapel Baptist Church and Ware Bible Baptist Church, continue to grow in love for one another. Love people who are outside of your regular group. There's a tremendous resource God has given to us. It affects our attitude and our actions toward others. It will take some time to give to others, but we're to cultivate, to diligently cultivate and to add brotherly love. Imagine how you could love someone here more this week. Imagine the card you could write, the call you could make, the greeting you could give right after this service is over. The assurance of being prayerful for them. The welcome to folks that we haven't seen here or haven't seen often before. Imagine displaying brotherly love. We certainly have received it here, haven't we? We certainly have received love from our Heavenly Father, haven't we? Let's be giving. Developing this in our lives more and more. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the love that we enjoy and have opportunity to give. Please help us to give more for your name. In Jesus' name, amen.